Morning.
Good morning.
How many of you hope I won't talk over an hour today? Don't worry, I'll keep it under an hour. 59 minutes is under an hour, right? Okay, good. Let's talk about hope. Hope is important in our lives. We need hope. Hope allows us to keep going, to move forward, to keep on keeping on, to not give up. So, what is hope? The way we use hope today isn't all that strong. You hope I won't talk too long. We hope it's going to be a nice day. The farmers hope it'll rain. You know, we hope we won't catch a cold. We hope that someone will be nice to us. We use the word hope to mean a wish, a preference, a desire for something to happen. Long, long ago and far, far away, well, anyway, back in 1975 in upstate New York, a young man was given an assignment to write an obituary of what he hoped his life would be like. And among the things that the young man wrote about was having a long career teaching high school English, of being happily married, having a family with 3 sons, 3 daughters, 2 horses, small farm with 3 dogs. Those were his hopes, his expectations. Hopes and expectations, they can be beneficial or destructive. Hopes and expectations that are fulfilled are wonderful, but unfulfilled hopes, disappointed expectations, can imprison us in bitterness and anger. The young man of long, long ago and far, far away grew up to a very different life than what he had anticipated. No teaching career, no horses, only 1 son, 1 daughter, 1 dog, but happily married in a rural home. And he chose to be happy with what was rather than dwelling on what could have been. So, why do we need hope? Hope for a harvest enables the farmer to plant his crops. Hope for freedom enables the prisoner to endure years of imprisonment. Hope for rescue allows the soldiers to keep fighting, waiting for rescue, even though they're surrounded by the enemy. Hope for the promised baby enabled Sarah and Elizabeth to eagerly anticipate the promised birth of Isaac and John. The Bible talks a lot about hope, but the biblical definition of hope is far stronger than our world's view of hope. Biblical hope is defined as being sure of God's promises even when we can't see them at present, and unwavering confidence in God's word despite the circumstances. A forward-looking assurance that God will do as he has said, and the confident expectation of what God has promised. Boy, that's sure different from the way we use the word hope. Today, I want you to know that we need to embrace and hold on to biblical hope. Let's focus on biblical version of hope. To start with, we need to realize that hope grows out of faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Without faith in God, our hopes are merely what the world calls hope, a wish, a desire, a preference for something that may or may not happen. Biblical hope is trusting that God will do what he says. So why do we have hope? Because we believe in God, and specifically, the God who has revealed himself in and through the Bible. As we read the Bible, we see God has revealed himself as eternal, omnipotent, loving, powerful, and caring. My editor said that I was being repetitious here and redundant and repeating myself, but I like to do that. So God reveals himself as eternal, omnipotent, loving, powerful, and caring. We see over and over again where he says He will do something and it will happen. He doesn't make promises that he doesn't keep. Now, if I repeatedly promise you that I will do something and don't do it, you are not going to have hope that I will do anything that I promise in the future. On the other hand, if whenever you promise me that you're going to do something, you do it, then I have confidence, hope, that you will do what you say you're going to. And that's what God's word shows us. God is reliable and dependable. He will do what he says he will do. As I said earlier, we all need hope. Hope for something better enables me to keep going, to get up when it would seem so much easier to just stay in bed and give up. Without hope, I may just slog along, enduring, just surviving, leading a bleak existence. We shuffle along, our eyes downcast, our lives gray and colorless. We decide that nothing will get better, nothing will improve, life will continue to be a disappointment, and nothing will change. The loss of hope leads to despondency and despair. What's the other word for despair? Hopelessness. So often our hopes get tangled up with our expectations. What do we hope for? Health, love, financial security, friendship, horses, dogs, big families, lots of things. Some things are heartfelt desires, while other things are just sort of a wish list. It'd be nice if. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And oftentimes we become so focused on and obsessed with what our expectations and desires are that it becomes, I deserve them. That's what I deserve. I'm entitled to those. And when those expectations aren't met, we're filled with anger, resentment, bitterness, frustration, grief. We need hope, but when hope is repeatedly unfulfilled, we give up and say, why bother? But let's go back and look at the biblical definition of hope. Being sure of God's promises, an unwavering confidence in God's word. Assurance God will do as he has said, the confident expectation of what God has promised. Notice the common theme in each of these: God's promises, God's word, what God has said. My hope needs to be based on what God has said, not on my wants. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Paul tells us that everything that was written was to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. And it struck me that when Paul wrote this, he said that we, including himself, that we might have hope. And he's saying that as we see how God has acted and worked and delivered his people in the past, we can have endurance and encouragement to hang on and to have hope for the future. Now, let's turn back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. We have hope that God will be glorified in us, that we have a purpose, a meaningful existence, designed by God to bring glory to his name. Paul assures us that even in the midst of suffering, we can rejoice, not because of the suffering, but in the suffering. We can rejoice knowing that through endurance, the suffering will produce perseverance, and that perseverance will produce character, and that character will produce hope. And our hope in God's plan and purpose for our lives will never disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Yes, our worldly hopes and expectations may and probably will disappoint us. How often in the past we found that what we hoped for, when we got it, it didn't satisfy us after all. But God promises us an eternity with him in glory, which will never disappoint us. Okay, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I'm not leaving, sorry. Got your hopes up, didn't you? Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul prays that they, and by extension, each of us, would have the wisdom to know the hope to which they and we have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his incomparable great power. Paul wants our eyes to be opened to the realization that what we experience here is nothing compared to what we will have in glory. Later in Colossians 1:27, Paul declares that our hope of sharing God's glory is demonstrated by the mystery of Christ Jesus, who is living in us, the hope of glory. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul reminds them and us that their endurance is inspired by their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I read that, I think I want to sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Paul reminded Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17 that our hope is in the living God, and that we are to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for us to enjoy. God plans for you and me to enjoy everything that he provides. Not just get by, not just manage, not just survive, but to enjoy. In Titus 1:2, we're told that our faith and knowledge rest on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, has promised to us. In this life, we'll have many disappointments, heartaches, troubles, suffering. Our hopes and expectations will be cruelly crushed. We'll have hardships, but take heart, have hope. hope that is real, hope that is based on what God has said. 2 weeks ago, we talked about remembering that God will not forsake us. This month, we celebrate that God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. He will never leave us. He will supply all of your needs and mine. And we can hope in him. We can hold fast his promises. Therefore, we're to look up, for our salvation draws near. We are to persevere, to keep going, to trust that God at the right time will come through. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't despair. When all is dark, when all seems lost, when Satan tells us to give up, know this, God is in control. God loves you with an everlasting love. God doesn't expect you to do it on your own. He will strengthen you if you call on him. He knows our every weakness. He knows that we don't have the strength, but he always, always stands ready to empower us by his Holy Spirit to enable you to step up in courage and to face the battle, to triumph in his strength and his power. So I want to encourage you to hold fast to the hope that God has given you, that he will supply all your needs. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus promises to give us peace. In John chapter 15, verse 11, he promises to give us complete joy. In John 10:10, he promises to give us fullness of life. These are the promises that we can depend on. Our hope is based on these promises and so many more. God calls us to live an abundant life, full of peace, joy, and hope, a vibrant life that rejoices in all God is doing, even when we don't understand it. So stake your hope in God. You will not be disappointed. I want to close by praying for you, Paul's prayer for the Romans from chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit now and always. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of all hope, that you do all things well. We thank you for your everlasting love. We thank you for your provision for all of our needs. We thank you that in all things, we can know that you're working them together so that we can become more like you and that we can exalt you and glorify you. Lord, just help us through this week to keep our eyes on you, to keep looking to you and knowing that you are going to come through in every way. And let us give you all the glory and praise. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.